This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Courtyard Club Call. Oh shit, that was yesterday. It's Wednesday, it's the live show, and it is me, Waggy, in charge. This, as you can tell, we've started late. Two things, well, you might notice is that to the that side of me is not Russ. Russ is not here, he's decided to go on his jollies. So two issues I've got with that. One, going on these jollies during the season, and especially towards the end of the season when it's quite crucial. And secondly, and most importantly, he scarpered and left me in charge. What on earth was he thinking? As you can see, it's all started well. We're only 4 minutes late. So anyway, the show must go on. The show must go on, so welcome to this week's Car Crash County Live podcast. I decided that we're going to change this up. The first thing we're going to do is get in the reses. So this episode is getting in the reses. There, we're done now.
Damn, a prepared one as well.
we'll do proper ones later. Okay. So yeah, I will introduce, as I say, assisting and supporting me is Mr. Mark Brockerbank, regular to the show, and hopefully a steady head. How you doing, Mark?
I'm very well, thanks, Waggy. How are you, mate?
A little bit nervous, but, you know, we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
We're men of means. We'll be fine.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we do have a first-time fan guest on this week. I will get him out shortly, and I'll apologise to him first. But we did manage to get the usual questions to him. So he did tell us his first game was in 1992. I'm not going to tell you which one. I'll let him explain that. Best games were definitely 1997 and I think 2021 and 2022, if I've got my dates right. But everybody knows that I'm crap with dates. So we will get him out. And I think, hopefully, I should have... Hello, Rob McCloy.
Hi, how you doing, guys? You all right?
Oh, yes, doing exceedingly well. What was Russ thinking?
Well, don't worry. Well, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, anything apart from what's already gone wrong. So we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Of course we will.
So we have hopefully got some sort of running list. Obviously, we'll have a talk to you, Rob, a bit later on. But you said your first game was in 92, which was the Peterborough playoff final, you said it was?
Yeah, it was, right. Yeah.
Excellent. So, yeah, so that gives your age up as much as, so you're in good company.
Thank you.
And then Chesterfield away, 97.
Yeah.
And then the Bolton game in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And Halifax, was that the promotion game?
Yeah, absolutely.
21-22, yes, I've got them right, haven't I?
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about the Forest Green and Wimbledon games. We will.
I just say, I've never answered the questions either.
Have you not?
No. That bloke and that Ross never asked
them. Well, go on then. Can you remember what your first game was?
I certainly can.
Go on.
Can he probably tell you the date to within about a day or two? 24th of September, 1984.
Wow. Who did we play?
It was a minor game. Stockport County 0, Liverpool 0.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's. I suppose that's a good one to go to for your first game.
But I would agree with Rob, best game, Chesterfield away, 97 season.
Yeah.
Takes some beating, that.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah.
So what's your favourite games? What's your favourite games then, Mark? Across
favorite
all
the games? Well, the Chesterfield ones are just so. The Stoke playoff semi-final back in, what was it, 92, something like that, the home game, Peter Ward's free kick. That's high on my list, to be fair.
Right, cool. We'll have to do it officially when Russie's back next time you come on.
I don't want to take Rob's limelight.
We'll do it properly next time you're on then.
I can cope, Mark, you're all right.
I might just leave you two to chat and I'll just sit here.
like you're crying in a corner.
Yeah. I'll just turn my video off and you'll just hear sobbing.
You're on mute, Waggy. Yeah.
So we'll talk about the upcoming Sutton game as well. We've got stats. We've got, obviously, coming up to the end of the season, Mr. Brocklebank has been working hard.
That's the problem. I've bombarded you with stats at lunchtime.
So we've got lots and lots of stats that we can go through later on. We will do Getting the Rezzers. Have you got one lined up, Rob?
I've got more than one. Depends on what you're going to let me have.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't find it very hard.
When you're only on once or twice, you don't seem to, but it's when you're on every week, you start struggling. So I've got a notes on my phone, and every time that I think of something, I just add it to that, and I put a green tick.
If you like, I'll only do one, and I'll text you the one you're going to have it next week.
I said I've already got my reses for this week, so... So, I mean, what a difference 4 days makes, doesn't it? Away at Forest Green, did either of you go to the Forest Green game? You went there. Yeah. What did you think of it, Rob? Because I know we had Jimmy when we did the club call. He went down there as well. And he seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, it was. I listened to that. Yeah, it was brilliant. We were really, really good. I think, you know, we've sort of stuttered a little bit, haven't we, in the last few weeks. And they were really, really good at Forest Green. They looked dangerous. I think everybody was probably... It was interesting because people were talking about like who should have been man of the match, but I don't think anybody was under 7 out of 10. You know, there were some really, really good performances. And we were so dominant. People like Ethan Pye and even were so high up the pitch. For a lot of the game, and we were really, really good. Nice to see, Callum Camp starting to look like, you know, the player that we all thought he was going to be. He was a bit stop start last season, wasn't he? And brilliant to see Vitore doing well. And obviously Rico Richards looked really good, and the whole team, difficult to single people out.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, Mark, similar?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, my three-word report was walk in park because I couldn't have that in it. You know,
it was. As I say, I don't even. We certainly didn't get out of second gear, did we? Yeah, I thought it was very much. And then 3-0, it was very much first gear, wasn't it? We said it on the club call. They just didn't offer anything. Even, you know, they didn't look. They weren't pressing us. They were just letting us do what we wanted to do. And then you look at the flip side, they went and beat Crewe, didn't they, Forest Green? They beat Crewe 3-0 on Monday.
How bad is that?
Away.
Brennington on Monday.
Yeah. It's just, it was just ridiculous. But yeah, I don't think anybody had a bad game.
For all the good work the club have done recently, putting on an open training session mid-season is really good. It's just, you know, next time could they do it a bit closer to home than Forest Green?
Yeah, very, very good. Oh, brilliant.
I thought it made the lineup prediction fairly straightforward for Monday, the fact that he was able to rest players by just asking them to sit down in the middle of the pitch. And
I
think he was suggesting that Ben Hinchliffe should have paid to get in and things like that.
He came out with a couple of good John Kieran's. He said they were very much powder puff defending, and Hinchliffe should have bought a ticket because he's basically a spectator, wasn't he? They were absolutely hopeless. I think, they say, obviously we will go on to the Monday game, but they say you should never change a winning lineup, and we just beat MK Dons the week before 5-0. But he did make a couple of changes, didn't he? I mean, I was quite surprised with Richard starting, but as you say, he looked really good, didn't he? I wouldn't quite go to the point of saying that I'd have looked good playing on Friday. But I think we could have put the kids out against them, couldn't we, on Friday? And I think we'd have still done all right.
It's interesting though, because Forest Green have still got to play Wrexham and they've still got to play MK Dons as well.
Well, including us, their next five games are the top five.
You'd be a bit concerned for them, wouldn't you?
You would, but as you say, you look at Friday's performance, but then you look at Monday and they go and spank Crewe 3-0 at their place. I think we've took 9 points from the last three games from after the Crawley game when everyone was a bit doom and gloom. We've been a bit patchy and stuff like that, but I just think we've pushed on again, haven't we? We look like a team again, and you can see players that we've got coming back and stuff.
It's only gonna
make us stronger, isn't it, for the back end of the season?
Yeah,
I think having a few lads who've been there, done it, been in promotion fights, all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we'll look after this, you know. Yeah. Paddy's been quietly magnificent over about four or five games. Getting the headlines, but just doing a job here, there, and everywhere, knitting it together, proper leadership. And
he's got 15 goals as well. That's crept up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Powell, another one who's just suddenly in camps as well, showing their experience, showing the know-how. And I think that's where some of the other teams probably, Clive might have another opinion over on the chat, but I think that's where some of the other teams might just not have those guys in the building that we've got, and that might be why we've suddenly put three wins out of three together.
Yeah.
Some have managed less than a waterlogged pitch,
Very
close. I watched the highlights of the Wimbledon game before, and John Kieran said something like, and now we're down to only seven on the treatment table. Only seven.
Only seven.
I do wonder that, you know, it could, like you're saying, Mark, that because we've had so many people out for so long, we've probably only got three or four in that side who've actually played anything like a full season. So they will be more fresh than they would have been.
Yeah. Mm. As maybe reflected in today's EFL Awards announcements.
Yeah, if we've got time, we will go through. We will touch on them, I think, if we do get time later on. But I think maybe that's because we've not had a settled 11, have we? We pretty much every single game, apart from between Friday and Monday, I think that's probably the first time that we've put the same 11 out since I can remember. I can't remember the last time that, even in the 12 game run.
Beginning of the 12 game run, we were pretty much steady. It was only when towards the end when we started picking up one or two injuries.
Yeah.
because that was where I got most of my fan hub points from. But that little run there kept my head warm in the winter, basically, that run.
So then, flip side of the coin, we put out exactly the same side against Wimbledon on Monday. And I mean, me and you spoke at half time, didn't we, Mark? And it was, and they came and did a job, didn't they? They came to get a point, they came to wind us up, they came to just break up the play, frustrate us. And they did it for 83 minutes, realistically, didn't they?
They did it a slightly different way to the others, because it wasn't necessarily, you know, like the gamesmanship and all that kind of stuff. It was, we're going to sit in behind, you know, you're going to have to toss balls in the box, and we're going to fancy ourselves with the three centre-halves who, you know, they all three of their centre-halves had good games, and two of them we obviously know very well. But they were a threat on the break. I mean, that number 38, first half, he looked like he could outpace us, even outmuscle us a little bit, and he was a real threat. And obviously the set pieces were a major problem at times. Not a problem, but they just looked like they caused havoc, you know. Yeah.
They did. I mean, that number five with that throw that he had was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, anywhere from the halfway line, he was getting it almost into the 6-yard box. And yeah. I think the one thing that I noticed in that is that we dealt with every single one. You know, you go back to that sort of dodgy patch that we had.
Yeah.
Balls were coming crew, in the box, set pieces, Tranmere crew, and we weren't getting anywhere near it, or we weren't getting the second balls. Whereas against Wimbledon, that we dealt with them all the time, didn't we?
But I'm going to put it out there, the change in the defence that's solidified us is Ethan Pye coming back. Ethan Pye comes back in, we're suddenly keeping clean sheets, and Ibitore is able to play out on the left. He's starting to look the player we thought we got, and so on, and rightly so. And it's all just slotted in nicely, particularly with Noyle coming back on the right. And we look better defensively all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's slightly straight.
There are some stats, aren't there, about Ethan Pye being in the side and out of the side this year. Somebody put him up. I think it was after the Forest Green game. And it's something like 2 points a game with him in the side, but only 1.4 something with him out of the side this year.
Right.
Because he missed, what did he miss? Ooh, 10, 11 games, something like that, wasn't it? I think he missed. So, big miss.
Yeah. And he wasn't in the team at the very beginning of the season either.
Yeah, that's right, actually. Yeah, he didn't play the first... Didn't he play at Chef Wednesday?
He might have played that one. I don't think he played until
12 games. I had a feeling he played at Walsall, and he might have made a mistake for one of Walsall's goals, was the first away game. I have that sort of etched in my mind.
Yeah.
He was definitely not a consistent at the start of the season, I don't think, was he?
No. Yeah, I think he made a couple of mistakes in his first two or three games, if I remember correctly. But everyone sort of, because you could see that you could see the talent that was there, and you could see, and it was just like, it's a big learning curve, isn't it? He's played at the season at Gateshead last year, wasn't he? So,
I've
got recollections of Chally sort of calling him out a little bit in one of the early games for not playing the easy ball into the channel and giving it away and led to a goal. So, absolutely spot on there, I think. But now Pye, he's been the catalyst. And I think Horsfall just looks a better player playing alongside him. Ridiculous as that sounds, that as the senior partner, he suddenly looks better. But, massive
player. Yeah.
He just gives us that balance.
Yeah.
It does. And I think, as we said, Torre getting a bit more confident. We've talked in the club call about him being next to Pye, and Pye, maybe if Byrne was next to Torre, he might give him a bit more advice and try and bring him back up. Whereas you think the last sort of three or four games, he's had Paddy Madden on that left-hand side with him. And just think that sort of, the seniority that Madden's got, the brain that he's got, he's just egged him on and brought a bit more of that confidence out of him and brought him back, as you say, to the player that we thought he always, that's the player that we signed, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like Paddy's got a lot more than what he actually does with the football about him. Yeah, he's a you know, if ever there was a club captain, you know, you can see that he's, you know, he does a lot more than just play.
It's the standards I think he sets Monday to Friday as well, Rob. I think it goes unknown, the levels that he is forcing players to reach in training, the standards he sets with his professionalism and so on. Yeah.
Even if he's not having a great game, he still runs himself into the ground every game.
In this last run, he's not getting subbed off as early as he was, probably mid and early season, you know, that kind of...
No, that's true. Yeah.
It's like, now we want the leader on the pitch and see it through.
Yeah, definitely.
First pun by Mr. Dowden. There we go. It's great having Pi filling the hole at the back. Very good. Very good.
Kudos to Jamie as well for... He's one player that won't crumble. And somebody called Nick, you know, saying he's earning his crust as well, you know. So, wonder who that might be.
Have you got your Rezzers note out, Waggy?
Well, I think we've already put pundits in. I don't know if I've already made mistakes. I can't start getting rid of people, can I? I can't start putting fans in there. In the Rezzers. There'll be nothing left for when Russ comes back.
Like a big hole.
Yeah. It'd just be like this Wednesday void. You could go through the whole team, couldn't you? I mean, I don't think Richards played very well on Monday, but he seemed to come out onto the left. He didn't really seem to know what he was supposed to be doing. I think he got a bit lost.
It's why you have a squad.
Sorry?
It's why you have a squad, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean,
come on the Monday, won't we? So we'll leave it for now. But yeah,
I was impressed with the crowd on the 75th minute, where they knew it was a tight game and that we needed something, and the Chidlen just got louder and louder. And I think you could see that helped with the players as well, didn't it? I thought that was really good. Because I think it was a bit flat, but I think everyone was a bit nervy and thinking, again, go back to the likes of last season, that was a game that we would probably have been 0-0 and it'd have finished 0-0. But what a strike by Bailey. And again, a Torre assist. Nice ball in from Torre. Great assist, but what a... Because I'm in upper tier three, obviously not far from you. And that curl, as it came in, it was absolutely superb, sat behind it.
But Torre played fabulously when he went over to right centre-back. We suddenly had another attacking dimension by having a load of left-footers on the right-hand side. It just suddenly, you know, I'll give Challenger the credit because I always want to, but all of a sudden we're playing balls inside rather than trying to go on the outside, and it just led to the goal, didn't it?
It did, but it did seem to flummox them, didn't it? They just didn't know, because it was different angles that the balls were coming in, because it was coming from a left-footer instead of a right-footer. I think you could see that, couldn't you? They just didn't know what to do with us. It seemed a bit all over the shop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Hippolyte did well coming on the left, just gave us that legs to take it into the corner and run them a bit deeper and further. It was some good subs from the Gaffer on Monday.
Yeah.
I think Miles Hippolyte's looked really good since he's come back. Not had a huge amount of chances, but...
Yeah, he's been steady, hasn't he? He's come on and done the job that he's been asked to do when he's come on. But I think, as we sort of said, with Wimbledon was set up, and they were quite happy for us to try and play the ball to Wotton all the time. As soon as we brought Alafi on, having that ball in behind and having to make them turn, again, they just seemed to be a bit more dishevelled. But I don't think Tanto didn't look quite right. For me, he looked knackered, didn't he? He's only on for half an hour, and he looked tired, really tired.
He looked tired, or he was carrying something.
Did you see him get a bollocking off Challoner for not closing the ball down? Sorry, Rob. I know you didn't actually make it, did you? You was working on Monday, wasn't you? So you.
Oh, don't. It's the last one I'm missing. But yeah,
is it? Right. Sorry to talk about
it. Fair, Rob. You missed about 70-odd minutes of absolute torment and absolutely nothing worth talking about. And then we all go away really happy because the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes was way more memorable, you know. So
Yeah.
It's hard work concentrating at work when you don't know what's going on, that's for sure.
Especially not being able to listen to it or have anything to do with it. That's even worse.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask you about Wootton because I've seen a lot of people say, you know, that he didn't really have too much effect on the game. Do you think we're playing to his strengths? Because I have this thing that his strength, I mean, I know he's a big lad, right, of course, and he can head the ball, he scored headed goals and stuff, but I think he's really good when he's back to goal. If you play it into his feet, he can hold it up, he can touch, he's got a good touch, he can bring people into the game. And there seems to be a bit of a temptation when he's in the side for us to lump it at him. And actually, I'm not sure that's the strongest part of his game.
No, because he always seems, if he goes up for a header, he always seems to get a foul against him, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't win many fouls, that's for sure.
No.
Rightly or wrongly.
The last few weeks, I think that first touch has been letting him down. So we've been playing it into him with his back to the goal, and it's been bouncing off him. Normally, as you say, his close control is normally really good. Yeah. And I just think that first touch has been letting him down. But I think he held it up quite a few times, didn't he? We did lump it up a bit against Wimbledon. But I think it was the same. Maybe we're not playing to his strengths, but it's a big flip, isn't it? Because this time last year, it was like, we can't play without Wootton. And now sometimes we look like a better team without Wootton in the, because we have a different, you know, different dynamic, isn't it? It's quite a strange one.
Is there a bigger picture where we're actually trying to set up to make sure our subs have an impact? So it's a case of we play one way, and then we can change it. All of a sudden, legs going behind against hiring defenders, you know. Ryan Johnson up against Tanto with 15 minutes left. You've got to fancy him, And that's because he's been driven further and further back, run into the channels by Paddy and so on. And then I don't know, but I would guess.
It's interesting because a lot of the criticism last year and at the very start of this year was that we didn't have a plan B, wasn't it? I was reading, I haven't been in work today, as you might be able to tell. I've been reading some of the Wrexham comments after their game last night. And there were a few of their people saying, we didn't have a plan B last night. Is that perhaps the point you're trying to make? Is that we do at the moment. We have options, don't we?
I think we've got a few different ones. I think the way we suddenly switched, we're playing out to Torre a lot first hour. And he was pulling it down, but he was having to come backwards because there's nobody ahead of him down that side. Second half, we decided, well, the number five's having a fun day against him and so on, winning the headers. Let's go the other side. Connor Evans is weirdly good in the air. Weirdly good in the air. Like, he wins. And all of a sudden, we just started getting further up the pitch, getting into the game a bit, you know, midfielders getting higher and things like that. And slowly, it wasn't dramatic, but, you know, we got back in. That raised the crowd. We talked a bit about the crowd, but I think as the comments coming in, the change that last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, G-Lend, and then, as I think a few were saying in the comments, filtered down below it, it just all came together. So, yeah, but I think, yeah, the point that I was saying, I think Wootton is doing a very quietly excellent job. Salford was a weird game of two halves where he got clouted up to his head first half, and it was a case of who's getting fouled more, him or Smith kind of thing, and neither of them got a free kick either. Second half, we played into his feet. He got one assist, didn't he, for Tanto as an equaliser. Yeah. We look a different team, you know. So, yeah, I don't think we're playing to his strengths when we use his aerial ability, I think. But also maybe when we're at home, he's playing with his back to goal with also a bank of four who were 5 yards in front of that as well. So he's got a very small area to work in with those longer balls, let's just say.
Yeah.
So moving on to Sutton on Saturday, away at Sutton. Are you going, Rob?
Yep.
You are? Excellent. Yeah, you're down that way, aren't you?
Yeah. It's one of my easier ones, yeah.
Right, cool. What do we think for that? Because they've won the last four now, haven't they? And they played a couple of decent teams. I can't remember who they've actually beat now.
Well, it's second versus third in the form table, isn't it? We're second there, third in the form table.
They beat Forest Green at Forest Green, 1-0. They've beat Accrington at home, 3-1. They beat Salford away 2-1, and on Monday they beat Swindon at home 3-1. So they've really changed that around, haven't they?
Yeah. I think the thing is for them is that they've only got us and three more games, haven't they? They're pretty close to the end. Whereas Colchester, of course, with both their pitches, they've got quite a few games left to play, haven't they? But then, where would you rather be? Would you rather have the points at this stage? I don't know. It'll be tight.
I've always said I'd prefer to have the points than games in hand, unless it's us that's got the games in hand.
It is,
isn't it? You know, if you've got the points, then you're of the saying that I'd prefer to have the points in the bag.
But if you've got
games in hand, it's the potential. And
it's really tight at the bottom, isn't it? Because Grimsby have been pulled into it now.
Grimsby have been pulled in, aren't they? Yeah. I think it's two out of those four, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Salford on 47. Got it on one of the screens at the moment. So, yeah. Salford on 47. Then you got the run four, which is Grimsby 40 with six to play. Sutton 39 with four to play. Colchester 38 with about 16 games to play, and seven games to play. But they'll just play one on each pitch, as Rob says, you know. So, then Forest Green 36 with five to play. So it's tight. Sutton need the points, possibly even more than we do. Ridiculous as that sounds.
Sorry, go on, Rob. Carry on.
I was going to say, Sutton, after us, they've got Harrogate away, Crawley at home, and they finish away at MK. And you're right, Mark. They need the points. I don't think they can afford to sit in and play for a draw. I think they could do with 3 points, couldn't they? And maybe
especially being at home.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd prefer to be playing somebody like that because, as you said, they're going to want to play football.
Yeah.
And they're at home. They need the 3 points. I think they'll come out as, and I think that suits us much more if a team like MK Dons, they came at us and we could have been 2-0 down before we scored, but we weren't, and we were clinical. So I think a team that comes out against us, I think we're a lot more clinical and we're a lot more upbeat and faster, because I thought. Against Wimbledon, we did look quite laboured and quite slow moving the ball around the back. Whereas if a team is sort of trying to press us and everything, then we seem to play a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. Teams have worked out how to come to Edgeley Park, haven't they? But, we more times than last year, we've got through it, haven't we? I mean, I'm thinking of Saturday. I'm thinking of Newport. There's two that would probably have ended 0-0 last year, but we just found a way to get through. I mean, we've still had them, haven't we? We've had Harrogate, we've had Swindon, we've still had games where we haven't got through them. But there have been more games this year where we've got a narrow win.
We've still created the chances, but we've just not been the clinical as, like say, certainly Swindon. Yes. We were much the better side, wasn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Against Swindon.
Yeah.
It's 9 points from 9 points from nine. We're now 4 points clear. It's in our hands. up till obviously Wrexham playing last night, we was all on the same games, wasn't we? So we've now got a game in hand on Wrexham. We'll come to the points per game that Mr. Brockbank did earlier. Did three weeks ago, was it now?
The last one was 19th of March, and then I've just updated it. I hit refresh button and it did it all for me. Too much effort today, hence why I spent lots of time doing lots of other stuff. On the other one, because I don't think we really want to show it to Waggy, but goals in each 15-minute segment of the game, Sutton are dreadful across the whole 90 minutes, apart from just before half-time. They are 10 scored, 7 conceded in the 15 before half-time. Every other period, they are negative in terms of goals scored, goals conceded, and particularly late in the game. Yeah, so might be a nervy one, and we might just have to live on on the edge just before half-time, because that's where they're strongest, apparently. There you go.
We're stronger in the first 15 minutes of each half, aren't we? I think that's the two strongest ones for us. First 15 minutes of the game.
15 minutes. We're the only team in the league that's got positive goal difference in every 15-minute segment of the game. So, 15 to 7 after half-time, 12 to 8 before half-time. So, just for the benefit of everyone on just trying to understand this, is goals scored versus goals conceded in each 15-minute segment of the games. And Stockport are the only team in League Two that are positive in all six 15-minute segments. Clyde Mansfield are next, but after half time, you're 10-10, 15 minutes after half time. So there you go. Weirdly, Forest Green are identical to Sutton in that just for half time they're okay and the rest are dreadful.
I was quite surprised that actually on FotMob that they credited Forest Green with having a shot.
But I don't think anybody's been able to pin down which one they counted.
No, I think it was because on FotMob it was basically on the corner of the 6-yard box, and it was that one. I think John Kieran mentioned it, that they sort of. It was a bit of a scuffle, and one of their guys has just hooked his foot at it, and it's gone out along the 6-yard line. But so they classed that as a shot, so it wasn't even on target. I mean, that's how crazy it is. An XG of 0.
Draw, clutching.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So go on. What do we think? Score predictions. I know Russ is away. We sort of tried to get a Sutton fan, but there isn't any. So we couldn't. So it's up to us to give the analysis. Go on. Score predictions.
Well, Rob's going, so he can have first dibs.
Okay. Throw him under the bus.
County or win narrowly 2-1.
Narrowly 2-1. Okay, so we're going to concede for the first time in three games. Oh no, it might be more than that. So go on.
I'll go 3-1 County with a late consolation for them. There you go.
Okay. I'm going to go with my pretty standard 3-0 or 3-1. I think if we get an early goal, like, you know, an earliest goal before 30 minutes, I think that's it. I think they might think the confidence will go when they realise that they're playing, you know, playing us. We get an early goal, that'll relax everybody, and then we'll go on to 3-0 and then maybe let them get a goal in the 89th minute or something.
Well, they need the points more than us.
They do.
I'm not saying I want, but if we got a point down there, it wouldn't be a disaster.
It wouldn't, because I was talking to the guy I sit next to before the game started on Monday, and he said the way the table was, we needed 13 points to be promoted.
Yeah.
Guaranteed promotion, we needed 13 points before Monday's games. So we won and Barrow drew, and that means now that we all
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days we count with you great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We need eight points to be guaranteed promotion from the next six games. So,
and we need nine guarantees, don't we? But it's goal difference, obviously, being one.
Yes, yeah, basically.
And that's assuming the other teams all get maximum points. Get
maximum points.
Yeah. And I don't think they can they? Because Mansfield go to Barrow on the last day.
Absolutely. And
Wrexham have got Crewe the week before they've got us. Yeah. But I don't think everybody can get maximum points either. So I don't know how that...
There's four games between the top six, isn't there? There's MK Dons versus Mansfield, Crewe versus Wrexham, Barrow versus Mansfield, and obviously Wrexham versus us. So... Yeah. Yeah, hence 86. There we go. I knew it was coming, Waggy.
Look, see, all these tabs open. These stats, people. Stats. So this Mr. Brocklebank, came up with this. So these are the key games of top six playing each other. On the 13th, we've got MK Dons versus Mansfield. 20th is Crewe versus Wrexham. And then on the last day, Barrow, Mansfield and Wrexham County. So if the lower position team... As it is at the moment, wins the games, then we get Mansfield 85, Wrexham 85, Barrow 85, MK Dons 83 and Crewe 81. You've not actually put what we'd get. Is this
that's because we have to be pessimistic and say we might scrub 3 points between now and the end of the season. Where does it get us, kind of thing? So this was purely on if these teams get max points or the best they can get, and then you've got to work out what will we get in return.
Okay.
So if the higher team wins, Mansfield can finish on 91, but that obviously then drops Barrow and MK Dons down by 3 points each, as you can see in the middle one at the bottom there. For the benefit of the audio listeners, just fast forward this bit, and then I did another one if it was drawn. So it all amounts to 86 points for guaranteed promotion, 92 to guarantee the title. But realistically, it'll probably be less than that, because chances of those top six winning all their games, obviously it isn't actually possible anyway, but even if we could,
I don't think anybody will. I don't think we will we?
No, I don't think. That's why I say I think a point on Saturday isn't a disaster. It might feel like it, but... they need the points.
I mean, it'll be a disaster on Twitter, but that's another debate, really, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all to play for, isn't it? These different... So I think, should we move on to our XG for predictions? XG predictions. So these, I do quite like this. So if we look at... Let's put it back up. Share screen. So this was after the Crawley draw. I think that was right, isn't it, Mark?
This was at the depths of despair after the Crawley draw and Twitter.
We went through this on the pod. And it all pointed towards us having to get some points at Wrexham, basically, based on the last four games on the 19th of March. Mansfield were an average of 1.5, Milton Keynes were 2.25, and we were 1.5. So that would give Mansfield 84 points, Milton Keynes 82.75, and us 81.5. We know we can't have 0.5s and 0.75, but it's there or thereabouts. And then
MK Don's home game, everyone. This was.
Yeah. And then we have the new predicted with our three games winning run. So now everything looks rosy. So our average points per game for the last four now is 2.5. Wrexham is 1.5. Mansfield are down to 1. So that would give us 92 points. Wrexham, 80.5 points, finishing in second. Mansfield in third, finishing with 79. And then it'd be MK Dons on 78. So that is pretty easy that we don't need to do anything at Wrexham. We'll be all right. Over the last eight games, we would get to 89, Mansfield on 82.78, Wrexham on 81.75, and Milton Keynes Dons on 77.52. So we would be okay there as well.
any of those points per game, we get a guard of honour at Wrexham by any of those points per game, if you look at it.
Yes.
Because we've been three clear minimums. Obviously, very, you know, what was the word that you used the other week? Fundamental, I'll say, but yeah, it's because look, Doncaster make the playoffs based on the points per game of the last four. If you look at that,
well, they're five wins on the bounce, aren't they, Donny?
Yeah,
them and Sutton are the form teams other than us at the moment.
Yeah, so I mean, we all know that the old good old cliche, football isn't played on paper.
Or in Excel or Power BI.
Or in Excel or PowerPoint, however you want to. The one that was, and I think Russ uses this one quite a lot, is this one. So this is the maximum and minimum league positions that we can finish as of today. So if we lose every single game and everybody else wins every single game, then we will finish eighth. So we'll be out of the playoffs. I obviously doubt them very, very much that is going to
happen. I thought that we were now, other than a 40-goal swing from Walsall, I thought we'd made the playoffs.
I think we have, haven't we? I think it's the goal difference thing, isn't it?
I think this doesn't take into account the goal difference, so that will be why there's a possibility that we could. But if we lose every game from now until the end of the season, six games, can we concede 40 goals in six games?
Oh, well, I don't know. If the team that went to Tranmere turns up, and possibly. But like,
absolutely. So yeah, I know Russ likes sharing that one. I think he updates this every 2 hours.
I love the fact that Walsall in 11th can still win the title.
Can still win the title, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they're really thinking about it as well.
Oh yeah, they're still in for a chance. Still in with a chance. Brilliant. So all right.
Excellent.
Yeah, say we've got stats for everything. Stats for everything.
Stats tonight.
Stats.
I wonder if if the dynamics change a little bit as well. Because I mean, we had like two or three games, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, where we played after everybody else. So the Salford game, and then the Crawley game, and then even the MK Dons game, we knew what happened with everybody else's fixtures before those. And then effectively on Monday we went first, didn't we? Because Wrexham were last night and Mansfield was called off. So, you know, psychologically it brings a slightly different aspect into it, doesn't it? You know, that's a bit more like, I don't know, I hate to say it, like Premier League type thinking, isn't it? Because that happens to them all the time. And we're just used to everyone playing on a Saturday and a Tuesday and that's it. But
Well, on that note, I see that the Crewe Wrexham game's been brought forward time wise.
Yeah,
it's 12:30 now.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, I think the psychology of that depends on the results, doesn't it? Like, as you said, you know, if Wrexham and Mansfield had both won and gone above us, and then we play, then the mentality is a bit like, oh shit, we're off the top now. Yeah. Whereas they've played, we've stayed top, and then you know.
It can go both ways, can't it, Waggy? As we'll recall on the way back from Yeovil 2 years ago, and the marvellous things happening. Was it Woking?
Woking,
points off Wrexham as we were all sobbing in service stations on the M5.
Cost me a car. Well,
me in a caravan in Western Supermare because we made a bloody miserable weekend of it. So, yeah.
About a couple of months before those games, that weekend, I went and test drove a car down here. And the guy who was in the car showroom, he said, oh, yeah, I had a county top on. He said, oh, my son plays for Woking. And I said, all right, OK. I said, we might need you to take a few points off Wrexham in a couple of weeks. And he said, well, if they beat Wrexham, will you come back and buy the car? So I promised him. And I hope he's not watching. True story. Brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So there we go. It is a strange dynamic, isn't it? Because I mean, then for the MK game, some of the people that I normally meet, we met at the normal time and we watched the Mansfield game in Basque, and we came out of there like, you know, over the moon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're bouncing when we start, and you know, well, I don't know. It's just an interesting little side bit, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'll give it a bit of a different dynamic, won't it? And it's very similar to the end of the National League season, though. Very similar, apart from there being more teams probably involved. Because I think by this stage, it was just us and Wrexham. I think Chesterfield had dropped well and truly out of it by now. But similarities, and obviously us going to Wrexham late in the season. It'd be lovely if the Guard of Honour also had a plane going over, wouldn't it?
I'm sure that will happen. If that is the case, I'm sure that somebody will have a plane out again.
Excellent.
So, should we talk about Rob first, or shall we put get in the reses? Should we go on then? We'll talk to Rob. So, you've said, and I have got all the information in front of me somewhere. So you said, we briefly talked about it. Your first game was Peterborough playoff final 1992. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How come you went to the playoff final?
Yeah. Well, I was 12 maybe, around about then. And I come from a family of United fans. I'd never been to a United game, but I'd followed them. And I remember I grew up in Hazel Grove, so I was Stockport all the way through. But then, do you remember that there were two Wembley finals in a week, weren't there? Or the 2 weeks apart. And and I remember listening to the first one when they lost to Stoke on like GMR or something like that. And I said to my dad as we're listening to it, I said, like, do you know what? I'd really like to go next week. And he went, well, all right, okay. And off we went. And I absolutely loved it, even though we lost. You know, we had great seats. And, you know, I was absolutely gutted coming out. And then that it was my first game, so let alone, you know, what everybody else must have felt who followed them, you know, all through that season. And then there was a friend of my mum and dad's who was a season ticket holder at County. And he said, oh, well, if you enjoyed the Wembley, I'll take you to Edgeley Park. And the first game of the following season, I seem to remember, was Chester at home in like the very early rounds of like the auto windscreen shield or something like that. And that was it. I was hooked. And have been since. And you know, despite, I mean, even moving away, I just get back as much as I can. In fact, I've got tickets for every game left, even a Wrexham ticket. And if I, providing everything goes well, I'll have done 31, 32 games this season, something like that.
Oh, wow. Excellent. So, yeah, well played. Because, yeah, because you live down that London way, don't you, in the big smoke?
I live in a little village called Bramley in Northamptonshire, which is between Basingstoke and Reading, basically.
Right.
About 3.5 hours in the car or on the train, depending on. It's a long old way. I did it for the Newport game, and you think, you know, like you could spend £100 on the train and like £100 staying in the Holiday Inn, and then, you know, etc. And to be there for that moment when he puts the ball in the net in the 93rd minute.
It's worth every penny, isn't it?
Like, absolutely. You know, you hop back down onto the station and you get on the train and you're still smiling when you get off in Reading. And you can't. There's only people who do it, not necessarily just county fans, but football fans. There's only them, or sports fans perhaps. It's only them that really understand. You know, some people look at you as if like you're absolutely mad. I just come as often as I can. Yeah, love it.
So have you got a season ticket then, or do you just buy? You have got a season ticket, right?
Yeah, I began to struggle last year with getting tickets for the aways. And there's no way, I've not made a season ticket pay this year, but it's been handy for, you know, the smaller allocation away games, to have it. So I've probably, my 32 games is probably split fairly equally between home and away, slightly more away, but it's fairly equally split because there's not that many games local to me. I mean, the National League was great.
National League,
and Eastleigh and Maidenhead, and you know, all really pretty close by. Absolutely. But really, I mean, the closest, probably the easiest one for me is actually Swindon this year.
Right.
Season ticket for the first time this year for quite a few years. So it's just brilliant. And kids have got season tickets as well. I drag them up with me as much as I can. They absolutely love it.
That's good, isn't it? And then, yeah, favourite games, Chesterfield away 1997, when we won promotion. Yep. By that point, the middle to late 90s, I was constantly drunk, so I remember nothing. As you can tell, when we used to do the quiz with Nick.
That's when my signal goes. It was just brilliant, wasn't it? Because that was the stage where we'd all been a bit concerned, just because that was one of the seasons where we had loads of games in hand, wasn't it? Because we'd had all the cup runs,
yeah.
So yeah, but I remember going and we scored. I think Brett Angel scored after about 5 minutes. And of course, it went electric, but we just couldn't get that second goal despite trying. And then it was a long old night after that, but it was just brilliant. And I can still remember one of my earliest real footballing memories is there was a guy, an old guy, stood on the terraces in front of me at full time, and he was just standing there and he was just crying. He couldn't clap or cheer or, and he was, and I sort of put my arm around him and I was like, "You all right?" And he said, "This is the happiest night of my footballing life." And, you know, and I, bless him, he may not even be with us anymore. I don't know. It's a long time ago. But, you know, it's just, there are just like over the years, I mean, what is it now? 30 odd. There's just so many lovely memories as well.
So yeah. I've got something in there. A hero and villain of those two games. Your first game, villain, because he was playing for the other team and scored the winner.
Yes.
And a hero that night because he kept the ball in the corner flag for about 43 minutes. And he said, no.
Mr. Charlery. Yeah.
Charlery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hero and villain of those two games. How bizarre.
Yeah, nightmare. Unbelievable. Isn't it?
That's why we have you on for the facts, because I didn't know. I'll just stick to this.
It was his one contribution, really, to the club, holding the ball in the corner at Chesterfield. It's all he did.
It's on a statue somewhere, yeah.
Who stood just like that, holding the ball.
Yeah. with a flag. Yeah. And a cigar.
And then, yeah, more recently, two absolutely classic games. Bolton at home, where we won 5-3 in the cup. That was just, I mean, that, I think that's up there in pretty much every every county fan's ears.
Ash Palmer was one of my favourites. I think it wasn't just that goal when he scored, because obviously we've pretty much been building up to that goal for the whole of the second half, haven't we? But it got so late, it was like, is it going to come or not? But for me, looking back, that moment changed everything. It was the moment that the belief almost came flooding back into the club almost, and into the fan base, and it was absolutely huge. And every time I look back, and you watch it, and there's like that wonderful moment where the ball hits the net, and then there's the cheer, and it's just brilliant. But I look at that because it was only like Challen as what, like third game, maybe, something like that. I think game. Wasn't it? His first one was the away game, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then they played someone at home in the league and drawn, hadn't they? It was that moment just felt to me like the belief just came running back through the fan base, the club, and we were on our way again, and it turned the season, I think, and look at the journey it started.
Definitely, because we got over Steve Rusk, haven't we? With Rusk ball.
I think we were still getting over at that point, weren't we?
Brilliant. But I went to Bolton away when we drew 2-2, and the space, he'd only been in charge like 3 days, hadn't he? And the difference in the players and the playing style and everything, the identity that we had straight away when he became manager, you could just see the difference. And that, as you say, I think the Portland game epitomised everything. It was just the justice, because Ash scored that own goal to start with, you know, and him to get the equaliser to take it to extra time. It was just absolutely superb.
And then two days after that, or because it was a Wednesday night, one at the Bolton, and then the following Saturday,
BBC,
we were away at Woking in the National League, and then. That's the first game I ever took my little boy to, because I've been talking to him about it, and he's playing for a little team and stuff, and he was like, I want to come. I'm like, great, and he hasn't looked back either. He goes to football training down here now in a county kit.
Oh, brilliant!
His mates have all got Chelsea and all the rest of it, and he's there with his Vita and his it's fantastic.
Does he get asked whose Premier League team is?
Yeah, all the time. Absolutely. He's developed the look though; it's brilliant. Absolutely.
Brilliant. You did say, obviously, you mentioned Halifax, but we'll go on. Your favourite players, Mickey Flynn, you mentioned Ash Palmer and Ben Hinchliffe.
Yeah.
I think definitely. All really good candidates there, really good candidates.
Yeah.
And Hinchliffe now is Golden Glove, isn't he?
He's one ahead of the Wimbledon guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that was another really good thing about that came out of Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, another clean sheet, and he's on top of the charts. So, Ash Palmer was just a rock, wasn't he? And again, he's got another promotion with Chesterfield.
Yeah,
you would hope he'd get a chance in League Two. I'm not sure. I think I've got a feeling he might drop back down to the National League, maybe Oldham or Rochdale or someone like that. He might get another promotion with them. So, you would hope that he'd get another one.
He's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, superb. So, I think that's obviously getting the rezzers. Let me see. Can I find the getting the rezzers? Where is it? There it is. There we go.
Rezzers. Get in the rezzers. Get in the rezzers.
Not having that.
Get in the rezzers.
Get in rezzers.
I know for one thing, I will never, ever be in charge of this again, apart from next week, because Russ is away again next week. So Car Crash 2. Here we go. So I will go last because I've not got one apart from putting this episode in the reses. I'll tell you what we'll do. Because of that, Rob, you can have one getting the reses. We'll give Mark one getting the reses, and then we'll give you a second getting the reses. How's that?
Wow, okay.
There you go. Privilege, you see. I'm the new global leader and leader and evil mastermind of TSBW, so yeah. It's my call. Yeah. Excellent. Here, so I'm up for it. So go on, give us your first getting the reses.
All right. Well, first one is referees. And it's not like they're all rubbish, they're all biased, they're all whatever. I just feel like they could do a lot more to keep the games flowing. I get sick of, you know, a corner or a free kick is given and, you know, the crowd get going and there's momentum. And then they spend like 5 minutes like going, oh, well, don't push him, don't do that, stop that, don't that. And then you lose everything. And then they blow the whistle and the whole thing happens again, but it's all right that time. Someone, you know, the pushing and shoving doesn't stop. And then, like, if there's a penalty, they make a big song and dance about telling the keeper that he's got to be on his line. He knows the rule. You know, it's just stop it. You know, and
this is Rob rants, not Waggy rants. I'm loving it.
If there's a free kick, right? If there's a free kick, count to three. To see if there's an advantage. You know, let's just see if we can let the game flow. Kudos to the guy at Forest Green, because our second goal was off an advantage. But as a general rule, just see if there's an advantage, you know, to be had. And then very lastly, I can't promise it's the last one. Last one for now. Book the first instance of time wasting during a game. I'm thinking, I'm looking at you, Mr. Newport goalkeeper. think, you know, obviously, you know, we're not getting rid of shithousery, and it has its place. And if you stamp down on one bit, then a team will find another way of doing it. I'm not daft enough to think that. But I do think that they could stamp down on the time wasted a little bit sooner in the game. And if you did it sooner, they wouldn't be able to do it for the rest of the game once on a yellow. So there you are, referees.
As I said earlier, though, to be fair, that Wimbledon, they didn't go for that. They were shithousery in different ways, and you know, it was a physical, not shithousery, obviously. It was just they were very physical, very direct, but they didn't time waste, to be absolutely fair to them. And you know.
But again, I go back to the club call. We mentioned we talk about the referee and mention ref watch as we call it, and against Wimbledon he just let pretty much everything go, every free kick, every set piece. There was every single time there's at least one or two of our players on the floor with his shirt halfway off his head type of thing, and the referee was like, yeah, that's all right, carry on. You know what I mean? It's just.
We were doing similar to Joe Lewis at most set pieces, though, because he was going from the back post to the front post trying to get the flick on, and we weren't letting him anywhere near it. But the way we were stopping him getting near it, if you'd have spotted it, it wasn't totally legal, you know. So, yeah, I think he made it, he called, didn't he? I'm not giving anything like that. Yeah, but I mean, I've looked at that, and he does trip him.
He does touch him.
Obviously, it was the same referee that gave the penalty to Wrexham that was 3 yards outside the box.
I think somebody said, I think it was Dan on the club call, said that referee that we had on Monday has actually refereed two Premier League games this season. He's obviously screwed right up. But I think, again, I suppose a follow-on, maybe I could claim this as a bit of a getting the reses, but it's that hierarchy that if you're not good enough for the Premier League, you get dropped to the Championship. But if you shit in the Championship, you get down to League One. And then that, so we just get the absolute dross that's left. But that's some big fall in one season, isn't it? From Premier League to League Two. So, yeah. So go on, Mark. You got one?
Well, mine's a bit controversial, because no doubt some of the people who are our viewers, listeners, will be some of the contributors to this. But I can't stand it. I can't abide comments on the social media pre-match team sheet slagging off the selection. And there was one that I had to just rip apart on Friday, which was one guy who'd suggested about what has Wootton done to deserve his place in this team and so on. And I just... I went into a bit of a rant about, well, there's this guy called Dave who makes all the decisions and he's quite good at it. He also works with them 5 days a week and he's probably seen things that you don't know about and so on. And, yeah, it's... have an opinion, but don't go overboard with crap tactical shouts and that, you know. There's a reason he's starting, and, you know, 12 months ago we were, as we said earlier in this episode, saying, how do we play without Wootton? So that was one that just brought me to a boil on Friday.
And, I think there was a lot of that.
If anybody goes to go back to the Twitter of the team sheet on Friday, you can monologue.
I'll definitely go back and have a look. But I think there was a lot of that with Powell earlier in the season.
Yeah.
But when you actually watched him properly, he was on a different level to everybody else. So it looked, you know, he'd look for a ball over the top and think that Tanto's going to go, but Tanto didn't think or didn't know. You know, we're not on the same wavelength, so he didn't go. But then the ball just teeters out for a goal kick. So things like that, you know, as you say, he's been quietly going about his job, hasn't he, Wootton? And it's the same.
I did have to stop myself on Monday from commenting on the lineup saying, was Hinchliffe done to deserve a place today? He did nothing on Friday.
He did nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was shocking. No contribution at all at Forest Green.
Absolutely nothing on Friday. Why is he in the team? Yeah. And the other one, because I think we just need to quickly say it, is the EFL awards announcement today, which... granted, we've not had many players who've played anything more than about 30 games this season, so I get why we've not got too many players in the mix, but Lee Bell for manager of the season from Cree.
I know, and Williamson from NK Dons, I understand he's done a good job since coming in, but he's not been there for the season. He's not really...
Absolutely get why Clough's in there, of course. Yeah, but...
well, yeah. But
I've got Lindsay from Crawley as well. I mean, nobody thought Crawley would be where they are, did they?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of challenges.
Yeah, Lindsay from Crawley, Pete Wild, you know,
Pete Wild,
and so on, because of what they've done with what they've got, and you know, but no. And then I think our only representation in any of them is Ethan Pye's been nominated, hasn't he, for
player and manager one. Young player of the season for League Two. But we've also got Olivia as the what's she up for? EFL Club Employee Award.
Wonderful.
Olivia Hanley. I think she's in the ticket office, isn't she?
Yeah,
she does a bit of everything. She's up
against a lady from Leighton Orient and a lady from Leeds United as well. So I'm guessing that's one per league. So that's a good shout. So everybody get onto the EFL website, vote for Olivia, vote for some pie.
Always.
I don't know if you can choose your flavour, but you can definitely vote for pie.
You could only have a vegan one at Forest Green.
They won't be vegan.
Yeah, he said they missed a trick there. Definitely, Greg should have had a drive-through, shouldn't he? Like within 2 miles of that place, and they'd have made an absolute fortune.
Just by the park and ride where I had to park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Poor Greg's at the park and ride. They're laughing. So yeah, I think definitely everything that we said can get in the reses is getting in the reses. There's no disagreement, I don't think.
Do you know, it's funny, Mark, because my second reses is almost identical to yours, but just on a slightly wider point. It's the need somehow for a scapegoat. You know, it's been Touré. Like you say, it's been Powell. Is it Wootton now for some people? I'm on groups and stuff where people have had a go at Tanto. Now, if you want to give me a shit striker that's going to score 20 goals next season, then I'll take that. You know, the whole point is, you know, we're all going to have our favourites. We're all going to have people that we don't rate. We're all going to chat about what all the things that go on in Basque or the courtyard or whatever. But when they pull on the blue shirt, just bloody get behind him. And it's just, you know, and I think you find, I mean, I don't know whether they watch things like this or read the yellow board or things, but it does get through to them. You know, they will know if people are having a go at them, and there's just no need for it. They're playing for the club that we love. We get behind them.
Yeah. Very good mate of mine who sits in the main stand in the Danny Bergara stand said a few weeks back, Ibi Toure literally shrunk into his shirt that game that he got subbed at half time because he was just getting an absolute torrent of abuse from the main stand, basically. You know, every time he went backwards, yeah, he didn't have a great half and probably did deserve to come up, but Bristow won it at half time. I think that was the Newport game, was it, I think, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, what a turnaround from Salford game where he scored. So, yeah. But on the Tanto one, the day after the playoff final, and I'll find the clip if need be on this very podcast, I said, Tanto's our 20-goal striker next season. And I could find, I'd love to find all the comments telling me I was wrong.
Yeah.
I'll just take that one and go.
There we go, Mike. Brilliant. Well, I think I've pretty much enjoyed my first episode as global leader for TFBW. Hopefully it'll be a bit smoother next week. It will be me again in charge of everything. I'll try and pull some more comments and stuff up as we go. I'm just trying to get everything, keep everything going. I'd rather just talk. It's a lot easier than trying to keep an eye on all the comments and stuff. But anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. Do please like the video. It helps for the algorithms. If you do subscribe, please do subscribe. We are on Patreon. We have the Courtyard Club Call every Monday, which is released ad-free on Monday. And then it's released with ads around Wednesday or Thursday. This as well, if you're a patron subscriber, should be posted straight after this without any adverts and stuff. And then we will have adverts and all on your favorite podcasting type things. So please like, subscribe. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Apologies to Mark. Apologies to Rob. I hope it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
I enjoyed myself.
Good. So, everybody, thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh, no. Where's it gone? There it is.
This episode of the Scarth Bergara War was written, recorded and produced by Russ Johnson and Nick Lee. The music on the opening titles was produced by Dan Johnson. Subscribe wherever you get your content, as well as finding out how to join the TSBW fan club. Check out the links in the description or go to all the W's, scarfbergarawar.co.uk.
It's the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.